I'm glad he's the master of the storm. Every storm. I'm glad for that. Every storm. He's the master of it. I appreciate that. And I was thinking while we were singing that song that you're going to have storms right on. I mean, there's no such thing as a life free from storms. It just does not exist. Man, it doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I mean, and it rains on the just and on the unjust. There are things that happen to humanity. Every one of Adam's children go through storms. But thank God if you've got Jesus in your vessel, while you'll make it safe to the other side. If you've got the Lord Jesus Christ riding with you, why, it'll be all right. He will keep you safe till the storm passes by. Then thank God one day, the clouds will roll back and there'll never come another storm. Never been the first cloud to darken that sky because there's no sun shining up there.
Hallelujah.
There ain't no sun. The sun will be just an ancient memory. The S-O-N is shining forever. And nothing up there obscures His light. Nothing up there dims His, nothing at all, thank God. I'm glad for that. I'm glad I'm on my way to that city. And I'm glad some of that city gets in my heart every now and again. And I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I'm glad when heaven gets in my heart. I appreciate it. Lord, I can't live without that. I can't make it without heaven getting in my soul every once in a while. And I try it, but Lord, it ain't long before I have to find a little old place and pull up and say, Lord, I need some heaven to go to heaven on. This old world's rough, and it's just difficult. But thank God every once in a while you can pull away and pull up to the throne of grace where there are no storms. Hey, if the storms of life are getting too rough for you, I know a place where there isn't a storm. I know a place where, there's refuge and a resort from it. You can come around the throne of grace and it's just as peaceful. And folks worshiping the Lamb and giving Him glory. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad for the Lord. You can't beat Him. You just can't outdo Him. He excels in everything. I appreciate the Lord. I'm glad to be saved here this morning. And I'm glad the preacher's here. I thank God for that. I was teaching Sunday school on them brethren that crept in unawares, and that's what he did. I was up there teaching, and Terry kept pointing behind me, and I seen the preacher creeping down the aisle, slip in. I said, he's not one of them crept in unawares. We all seen him. I'm glad he's here. I'm glad Brother Ricky's back here. I'm glad he made it with us today. I don't know why he's sitting back there, maybe to hide from us so we can't see him. I'm glad he's here. I'm glad Granny's here today. Glad she came to Sunday school. And I'm glad for all God's children. One of these days we'll all be gathered home. Hallelujah. There won't be one missing. There won't be one missing at all. Everybody gather up there. Won't be a feeble one. Won't be a land free from complaints. Nobody will have a complaint at all. Nobody will be feeble. Nobody will be sick. Everybody will be shouting and glorifying God. Everybody will be with one mind and in one accord giving glory to God. What a meeting that'll be. Every once in a while it gets good when folks get in one mind down here, but to be in a place where everybody's got their mind on Jesus. Everybody's got their mind on the Lord, and there ain't no problems to get your mind off of Him. There ain't no troubles to distract you. Just to worship God like you always wanted. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm on my way. I appreciate the Lord. It's good to be. And I got all this when I got saved. I thought I was just escaping hell, but I got all this on top of it. Hallelujah. And I'm glad to be saved. Amen. You pray for Blanche Bell, Ed and Edith Honeycutt, Vela Laws, and Doc Gorley. Cindy Hodges is out of the hospital. You remember her in prayer. Mr. Horton is going to a heart specialist Tuesday. He has two blockages, and we need to pray for Brother Horton. Said continue to pray for Carl Nixon, Jerry Nixon's brother. And continue to pray for Marcy Douglas, Brother Ralph's daughter. Pray for her. That cancer's aggressive. But God answers His children's prayers. If He didn't, we'd be in an awful shape. But I'm glad He's inclined His ear unto us. It occurred to me the other day, He's the one that said to ask. He's the one that said to seek and to knock. He's the one that said, bring your cares and petitions to me. Why, He wouldn't say that if He wasn't wanting to answer them. I'm glad for God. He's doing all right this morning. Everybody, the world's rocking and reeling, but everything up there is sure and steady. I mean, the world's wondering what in the world's going on, but it's all right up in heaven. Everything just as fine. Wasn't even a hiccup the other day when that thing hit land. And I mean, wasn't even nothing. I mean, stormy winds fulfilling His will, I read in the Scripture. And I bless His wonderful name. I'm glad I'm on His side. Ushers will come this morning. We'll take up the offering. You give as the Lord's blessed you. I believe today's Bread Sunday. You give your money for bread for overseas, and I'm glad we have it to give. I'm glad God's blessed us with it. We could be down there looking for somebody else's charity. And let me say this, it was said this morning, thank God for these mountains, and thank God that we've got a little protection here, but there is coming a day when the mountains East Tennessee won't protect you. There is coming a day when there won't be any protection from the mountains, won't be any security. You bet the only security in that day is to be in Jesus. And I mean, it don't matter if you're in the mountains, if you're in the valley, if you're not in Jesus, that day's going to take you and you'll be unprepared. But thank God you can still get in Jesus. Brother Sam, you pray for us, and everybody pray this morning.
Thank you. again, there is plenty.
His bounty. Jesus told a woman, there at the well, this water will not satisfy. But I'm living water, and if you will drink, I'll always be flowing inside. Then she who was lonely and empty within drank until she was filled. She hurried back home, told everyone, come see what I found at the well. One night at an altar, and my empty cup was filled. I needed refreshing, and oh, what a blessing I got when I went to the well.
I'm glad for the well this morning. Come on, Brother Ricky. I'm glad Brother Ricky's here with us, and I love to hear him preach, regardless of where he sits in the church. I love him. I appreciate it.
Well, it's good to be saved this morning. I'm glad to be here. And I'll never get to sit with my wife in church, being a pastor, so I was trying to sit with her. Got to sit with her in Sunday school and enjoyed that. And I've not been able to be here on a Sunday morning since we went up to Virginia. Been there about 6 years, and we're on vacation this week. Of course, I think we ought to change the name of that. I thought vacation's when you went and got some rest, and I'm about half dead after a week of being on vacation. I'm going to go home and try to get a little bit of rest, amen? But I've enjoyed being with my family, and I think it does you good to get away every once in a while and spend some time with your family. But we wanted to come by here and see Preacher and visit with him a little bit yesterday evening, and wanted to be in a Sunday morning service again at Brookside. We love y'all, and we appreciate y'all. We've been praying for you, been praying for all of you that have been sick. We know you had a lot hit you a few weeks ago with Craig and then Granny and Preacher's wife. And we love you. We're glad to be here. If you have a Bible, take it and turn to 1 Chronicles 16. You've heard a lot of stuff on the news this week, I'm sure, about what happened down in New Orleans and around there. I've really been trying to pray this morning. I've got some feelings about it myself, and then tried to look in the Word of God and tried to get with the Lord. I called preacher about the middle of the week and asked him how he's feeling about it. And got some things on my mind that I'd like to try to preach this morning. I do want to say this. A lot of people need to quit believing what the news reporters have got to say about everything. And we need to get our mind back on what's God. Now, you can't deny that God's involved in this thing. I'm not here to say if it was God or the devil that brought the flood, but I am here to say that nothing happens that God doesn't allow. Nothing happens. And I think it's about time America started asking herself the question of shouldn't we wonder about seeking God a little bit? And I want to look at this. Now, David here, they'd brought the Ark of God back. The Philistines had had it, and they'd been able to finally to get it back, brought it back the proper way, and set it back up. Now they had the presence of God back with them, the Ark of God. And he gives them a psalm here in verse 7 and gives them some instruction. I believe this was of God. And this is some instruction for Israel of how they ought to act. Now, again, that they've got the Ark of the Covenant and what God would like for them to remember and what he'd like for them to do. And I do believe that you can get spiritual application for this for our nation. I think the nation of America's history parallels the history of the nation of Israel quite a bit. I mean, God brought us over from brought the early pilgrims. They came over here to get out of religious bondage. I mean, they were in bondage to a religious system, and they came across some waters and got to another country, and God blessed them and gave them a land full of milk and honey, just like God brought Israel out of Egypt after 400 years of bondage and took them across the Red Sea, a body of water, and took them into a land and gave them a land full of milk and honey. I mean, if you'll look at it and take some time, you cannot deny that Almighty God is in the history of America and that he had a hand in blessing us and giving us all this good stuff that we enjoy and that we have today. And so I think sometimes you can draw some parallels. And David told him in verse 7, then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Now I believe this psalm is to tell them how to be thankful and how they ought to act now that they got the presence of God, to keep the presence of God and walk with God. And so he starts telling them these things, and he tells them in verse 8, make known his deeds among the people. You need to be letting the people know what God's done for you. Our country used to do that. We don't do that anymore. Now we talk about we've got the greatest military in the world, and I appreciate our military. I'm for our military. I'm for what they're trying to do. But brother, I want you to know that throughout the history of America, it was not the intelligence nor the ability of the military that gave us the victories we've had in this country, but it was the hand of Almighty God changing events, changing weather, turning evil kings' heads and letting things happen to deliver our country, because we used to get the gospel out and we were a friend to Israel, and we ought to have kept on making known his deeds and giving God the glory. They say now, they'll have my news and they say, we got the best army in the world, the best trained, best equipped. We'll get this job done. Well, I appreciate them and what they're doing, but brother, if God doesn't help us, I mean, we'll never get anything done. Amen. Matter of fact, we're not really getting it done anymore. Amen. Talk ye of his wondrous works. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Verse 9. I mean, he told Israel,
You need to tell people about everything I've done for you. You need to tell them. And then it said, seek the Lord in His strength. I want you to mark that one good. We're going to come back to it. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Our country has forgotten what God's done for us. They won't even let us tell our children in the public school what God's done for us. They're changing the history book. They're changing it all. I mean, God said, don't forget what I've done for you. What's even sadder is us that are saved are forgetting what God's done for us. We're forgetting what God's done for us. We wind up with two cars and a pretty nice house. And I mean, you know, all the necessities and more than necessities, abundance. And if we're not careful, I mean, I was down at Pigeon Forge this week and I enjoy spending time with my family. But I can't go but for about 2 or 3 days till I feel like a spoiled brat enjoying all that stuff with what I've seen on the mission field and I've seen people suffer, and I try not to put a damper on the vacation for my family, but after a while it bothers me. I think, Lord God, I just won't go home. I'm tired of enjoying all this junk. Amen. Let me go back home and get back at my house in the country. Yeah. And just get out there and look at what God made. Amen. And thank Him for the sunrise. And watch the sun go down one more evening and stand out there and look at what God made. And say, thank God. I thank God I don't have to have all that junk they got out there to be happy. Amen. I went up behind Danny's house this morning. They let us spend the night at their house. And I called my son Lear, talked to him about the service on that cell phone. He said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good right now. I'm up here in the woods. I found me a spot where I can't see one thing that man made. I'm just looking at what God made. I'm feeling a lot better. Remember His marvelous works. You can parade all that high-tech stuff in front of me you want to. But if I can get out somewhere where there's a little creek and some rocks and some hills and sit down and spend a little time with God, I'm doing pretty good. Amen. His marvelous works. Amen. And then He told them, verse 13, O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And would I don't think I'd be stretching it to say He calls Israel God's chosen ones, and I believe that. But I don't think I'd be stretching it to say that God, for some reason, chose to bless America the past few hundred years, and to really, I mean, He's blessed this country. And you know what He tells them right after that in verse 15? Be ye mindful always of His covenant. Now, I know I'm a Gentile that got saved by the grace of God. I know I didn't have any covenant or anything, but I'm trying to make spiritual application here. We ought to be mindful of God. Now, I mean, we ought to be mindful of God at our house. We ought to be mindful of God in our daily life and down at the church house. And always have on our mind that we've got a good God. And try to look at things from His perspective. My family, if they get to watch the news or listen to the news, they have to listen to it twice. Because after we see it, I have to straighten it. I always have to tell them how I think God sees that thing and tell them, you know, they're lying about this, and I think it's more, amen. Be mindful of God. And then you'll know 90% of what they're telling you ain't nothing but a lie. Amen. And He told them what He'd done. He said, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for law, verse 17, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. And here again, I believe He shows some things that He not only did for Israel with the land of Canaan, but what He did for early America when our forefathers came, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And then he said in verse 24, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. I mean, even the birth of our nation, when we wrote and signed our forefathers the Declaration of Independence and stood up against England. I mean, humanly speaking, there was no way we could take on England and get our independence and be our own nation. But they don't tell you this in the public school system, but those Minutemen and the early men in the Continental Army, they had a banner that they took out to battle, and they made up a banner, and it said, no king but King Jesus.
Amen.
And they want the King of England to know, we're rejecting you as king. We want the Lord Jesus to be the king. And the first time our Congress met, they had an over 3-hour long prayer meeting begging God to bless our country and help them. And God gave us this land, and let us have this land and bless this land. And you know what he says, and this is the part I'm wanting to get to. I want you to look back at verse 11. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. And let's read on down through here where we were at. It says in verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now this verse sort of jumped out at me. Fear before him all the earth, that the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. He told them that they ought to seek him in verse 11. And they ought to seek his face continually. Now I may not preach a whole lot longer, but I want to give you what's been on my heart this week. I had a bunch of other scriptures. We may look at it, we may not. I got to thinking about this thing, and I heard a preacher make a statement, and then the Lord gave me some to go with it. Our country has quit seeking God. Our church members have quit seeking God. Our preachers have quit. We've lost our seeking spirit. You know what they say now when something happens? You know, pray for the survivor. Pray, God bless America. I mean, they want to pray. I want you to pray that God will help people. But where's that seeking God spirit that we used to have in this country? Where people would, I mean, I remember my first pastor said at the end of World War II, when it got to my hometown, the news that the war had been ended, the old timers said that on Main Street of Marion, North Carolina, all up and down Main Street, people were down on their knees thanking God that the war had come to an end and blessing his name. They didn't care who was watching. They didn't care what the government thought or what any of that outfit thought, you know, that wants to tell us we can't. They went to Main Street and got on their knees and sought God and gave him glory. But we had, with September 9-11, 2001, we had a revival of patriotism. And I'm for the patriotism. I'm a patriot. I believe if you ain't willing to fight for America, or if you're too old, you ain't willing that if they called on your children that they'd go and fight for America, you ought to pack up and go somewhere else. I'm for patriotism. I thank God. I still think America's greatest country on earth. American Israel, I think. But you know what? A patriotism. We had a revival of patriotism, but it wasn't a patriotism that had much God in it. Right. And you cannot be a true American patriot if you don't believe in the fact that God established this nation and that it takes God to keep this nation going. Yes. You can wave a flag all you want to, jump up and down, hoot and holler. Unless you are giving God glory and trusting God, you're not a true American patriot. But we had a revival of patriotism. You know what I believe we're going to have now because this happened in New Orleans? We're going to have a revival of humanitarianism. All week I heard them in stores. Hey, we're going to, yeah, Tennessee's doing a lot. I heard a woman saying that yesterday. Well, I hope they are, and I'm glad if they are, and that's good. And I hope Virginia does a lot. That's where I live. And, you know, I hope, they get them some water and some food and all of that. But we're going to have, I believe this time, we're going to have a revival of humanitarianism. But it's going to be a humanitarianism that leaves God out. And they're going to give the glory to the Red Cross or to the government or to some agency. And brother, you can't really help somebody unless you, you can help them physically, but unless you're trying to help them get to God, that ain't going to help them either. And all underneath all of that, you know what there is? A spirit of deception. That the devil's running under. There's a snake in the grass running through this country, deceiving Americans into thinking, we're patriots, we can whoop Iraq, we can whoop Afghanistan. And not only that, look how good we are. We're helping people. We're having a rock concert to help feed the people in New Orleans. Yeah, bless your little heart. Somebody told me, Walmart said they's going to give $1 million. I thought, God help, that ain't even pocket change to Walmart. And they're going to have revival, amen. And the devil's just deceiving this nation and deceiving. And we need to rebuild New Orleans. No, you ought to get everybody out there and drop a bomb on that sinkhole. You ain't got no right. I might have a little bit. I've stood on Bourbon Street and preached. I've stood in New Orleans on a number of times when I was a young preacher. We'd drive about 6 hours to go over there and take some tracts. We'd have to get up early in the morning on a Saturday morning, drive over there and preach on the street and give out tracts and drive back to be back in Pensacola so we could go to church on Sunday morning. We was in Bible school during the week. I've stood on Bourbon Street. I've stood in front of that Catholic church, that big old church they're showing you on TV. I've been there the week before Mardi Gras. We've stood there and preached, and people walking up and down the street half naked, and the sodomites and the pervert. I've seen bestiality on the streets of New Orleans. I'm not telling you something I read about. I've seen it. Had people offer to sell me things on the streets, drugs and all the sex and all the stuff, trying to preach the word of God to them. Built by a bunch of French. Then the blacks moved in. And it's a place known. You can go there and do any kind of perversion and wickedness you want to. Hey, what are you saying? After I heard about this, I got to looking in Jeremiah, where God said over and over, I rose up early and sent my prophets to you. I sent them to you, but you wouldn't hearken. Take your Bible concordance and check it out. He said, I sent them rising up early. I told you, we'd get up. We weren't trying to fulfill scripture or nothing. We'd get up, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, head out for New Orleans. We just wanted to go preach, give out some gospel tracts, and they'd laugh in our face. They tried to attack one of the preachers one day, and one day we was there the week before Mardi Gras, nakedness, perversion, drugs. I've been in over 20 countries. I've never been anywhere that was as wicked as New Orleans. Are y'all listening? Remember that when you hear the news forecast tonight. And oh Lord, I'm trying to stay spiritual, preacher. I seen some black dude get on there the other night and say, well, it's because we're black that they ain't getting the food down here and ain't getting the water down here. No, it's because you're black that you didn't have enough sense to do what they told you, to flee a country that had destruction coming, because half of you wanted to stay and loot the town and got more than what you bargained for. Right. Amen. Right. Amen. If you don't like it, I ain't apologizing. Amen. And the devil's going to use that spirit of humanitarianism. And I seen a woman politician from our country on that Nightline, and she said, there's no place like the French Quarter in New Orleans. Why, you can go in a store at 3 o'clock in the morning, convenience store, and see a man dressed in a nightgown in there getting in some stuff. Where, there's no city like New Orleans. And I thought, thank God. Well, you ain't got no love. I tried. I'm just going to preach honest. I called preacher. I said, preacher, I'm a trying, didn't I, to have a burden for that outfit. But if God don't give you a burden, you can't have one. And when a crowd has rejected, they've promoted the sodomites, the lesbians, bestiality, drugs, drunkenness, and it was built by the French, the Spanish, and the blacks. Two of those groups are Catholics that do not believe in putting your faith in the Son of God. They believe in putting it in Mary. And that other group, they'll be anything just so you give them another handout. Amen. Might not want to send this tape out. I don't want to go to jail yet. Well, preacher, where's your scripture for this? Saying there ain't no seeking spirit. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 9. Hey, why would you get up and preach something like this? Because I prayed and felt in my spirit that these young people in here need to realize, hey, brother, this thing's getting bad. You better learn, you young people, look at me, and you moms and dads, you better learn to spend a little bit more time in your life and down at the house reading the Word of God and seeking God. You better ask God to give you a seeking spirit. Amen. Hey, can I tell you something? It's hard to keep one in these days.
Amen.
It's hard.
Amen.
You look at these bunch of dummies all around. It's hard to keep a spirit seeking after God. You husbands and wives need to help each other with it.
Amen.
Spending time together, reading, praying. Don't buck up on your spouse when they'd rather take some time and say, I want to think about God, or let's read the Word of God, then go do some of this junk out here. I only go to church 3 times a week. You might ought to start going more than that.
Amen, Ricky.
While we still got them. Before they hear that we're preaching like I am and say we're shutting y'all down, you're preaching hate propaganda. Let me tell you something. I've been on those streets in New Orleans. That crowd will cut your throat for a $5 bill to go buy another bottle of wine.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen.
And spit in your face and walk off laughing about it. You young people, you better quit looking, thinking, well, whoo, New Orleans, go down to Mardi Gras, go to Cancun on my graduation vacation now, go down to Myrtle Beach, go to all these places and get in the real living. Hey, there's some real death come through this week. You want some real living? It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And fellowship with Him. And trying to walk humbly with your God. And eschewing evil. And seeking God.
Amen.
You'll get some real living. What the book of Revelation talks about is happening in New Orleans today. Today. He said what they'd do when those things came out of the bottomless pit. And we won't read all of that. But he said what they'd do after it was all over in verse 20 and 21. He said, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. And they practiced voodoo and Satanism all over the streets of New Orleans. It's known for it. Of course, I ain't talking about that on CNN this morning, though. They're talking about, we need to pray.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not going to read it, but I did find a scripture in there. And whether you like this or not, it's in there. In Jeremiah, where God said, I sent prophets to you. I rose up early sending prophets to you. And you wouldn't hearken, you wouldn't hearken. He said, therefore, he told Jeremiah, pray not for these people.
Right.
They asked for it for so long, I've given it to them. Hey, you Christians, mamas and daddies, you better listen. I got a 6-year-old girl And it bothers me what she's going to face by the time she's 16.
Amen.
When I think about it, I want to talk to God.
Amen.
And I ask Him all the time, Lord, please, when she gets out, please protect her from that outfit. Lord God, help me to teach her right. Help me to know what to say to her about current events and things, to help her to see that the only good way is to go with the Lord. And shine this outfit out here. It says you ain't living unless you're doing what they're doing. He said that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Now here's the 6 o'clock newscast for you. You don't have to watch it tonight. I can tell you what they're going to be telling about in New Orleans. Verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders. They've been killing people where they've been trying to help them. Shooting at our soldiers, shooting at our helicopters, trying to come in and get sick people out of the hospital. Neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries. And sorceries, if you study your Bible, is hooked up with this modern drug movement. This is the only time that I believe this King James Bible. I mean, I believe every word in it's right. But this is the only time I ever refer to a Greek word. The Greek word for sorceries is pharmakeia. The same word you get your pharmaceuticals from. Drugs. Any of you young people, you want to mess with drugs? You're asking for devil possession.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you don't know. You're just a loudmouth preacher. No, I'm a sinner that got saved by the grace and was on drugs when I got saved. And I know by experience that I had devils in me and they got in when I started using drugs.
Amen.
That outfit down there's got demons crawling all over them. Where them pigs want to go when Jesus cast them devils? They wanted to find some water. Why is it all these hell holes like that? I mean, New Orleans, they had to build it with 3 bodies of water around it. Hey, that Bible will clear up a lot of this stuff. They didn't repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications. Raping women in the dome or whatever they got them in. And then you'll have some bootlip get on there and say, well, it's because they're in distress. They had to do that. No, they didn't have to do that. They ought to slap a living, they ought to shoot them is what they ought to do.
Amen.
You better not break in my house and say it's because of distress. You're going to get some distress if I catch you.
Amen.
You better not mess with my youngins and say because you're in distress. I will put you out of your distress.
Amen.
Well, you're in the flesh. Well, maybe. And maybe one day all you that are saved are going to stand with me and the rest that are saved beside God as He burns this crowd to the ground and say hallelujah to the righteous God of heaven.
Amen.
You might ought to read the book of Revelation again. There's going to come a time when we're going to say He's right in doing this.
Amen.
Well, I know. We're so eat up with that spiritual deception. How come they ain't showing our shot up soldiers in Iraq on there and saying, hey, we really need to help these fellas. They're having a hard time. They're going to show an outfit that rejected God, wouldn't leave town when they told them to, and refused to get right with God, and are down there doping it up. And it says, nor of their thefts. Did I get there? Their thefts. You have seen the looting, ain't you? It's right there in that book.
Amen.
And we need to help them. Why don't we send a little bit more help to them boys in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Amen.
And quit giving cynical reports on them and tell the truth.
Amen.
That the American soldiers have started over 330 schools in Iraq in the last year and opened them up. Did you hear that on CNN? And what good they're getting done, that outfit won't tell you. But they want you to help a bunch that's going to use this probably till the day I mean, the day after, if I live to be an old man, when I'm dying, that outfit down there's still going to be using this and saying our government needs to give them more money and build them more projects because we did them wrong when New Orleans got flooded. Spirit of deception. Well, preacher, what can we do? Well, you may disagree with me, but you're not going to change that outfit. Right. According to Romans 1, that outfit that's out and out for sodomy and out for perversion and out for all that stuff, God said, I'll give you over and let you do it. Yeah. Well, preacher, what should we do? You ought to start considering every one of these brothers and sisters in here as your best friends. You ought to start spending more time fellowshipping with Christian people, loving one another, praying for one another, being here at the house of God. If you're tired, go ahead and bring your children anyhow. They're going to need every bit of the Word of God they can get in these last days. Well, I thought we was going to have great revival. Well, show it to me. That's what Benny Hinn thinks. He ain't got enough sense to blow one side of his nose. That's what he thinks. Amen? I'm going to tell you what we're going to have. We're going to have trouble.
Amen.
We're going to have tribulation. Jesus said that's the way it was going to be. And there ain't no fella in a three-piece suit going to get up and give a speech and change it.
Amen.
And what you and I that are saved need to do is we need to spend more time around the house of God, more time in the Word of God, more time saying no to the attractions of the world and get some God in us and get ready because, hey, I love living in the mountains too and I think it's one of the safest places to live. But I had an uncle tell me in Germany one time when we was over there, he said, this was back in the late 80s. We don't ever have none of that stuff happening over here. You know, we're safe from that. What about 2 years after that, there's a big flood hit over there in Maastricht. And this summer, there's big floods hitting over there.
Amen.
Don't matter where you live, you better get all the gods you can in you.
Amen.
You better get tight with your family. That's saved. You husbands and wives and you children, you better start spending time talking about the Lord, seeking His face continually, being mindful of His covenant, remembering and talking about what He's done for you. And then get down to the house of God with your family there, your church family. And spend time with them and love them. Get away from that outfit. They're deceived. And yeah, try to preach the gospel to them. But I'm going to tell you what, I believe the days of big harvest are over in America. It's come to the point where Christians better start seeking God so they can get their family raised and through this mess. Amen. And don't put your faith in the government. I think they're trying their best. I think President Bush is trying to get them help down there. I saw the National Guard trucks riding through 3 or 4 feet of water. I think they're trying. They're trying to help them. They're trying to get it there. But I'll tell you this, there's going to be a day when the government or nobody else ain't going to have what you and your family's going to need. The only place you're going to be able to get it from is God. And it'd be good if in that day you'd done what preacher tried to tell you here a while back, and I heard about it and preached it to my church. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
And he said that time of need might be down the road. You better start getting that grace now.
Amen.
You young people, don't listen to that outfit, boys, girls.
Amen.
Don't think you've got to go with that crowd.
Amen.
You don't have to go with that crowd. You don't have to go with them to be satisfied. You don't have to go with them to be happy. You don't have to go with them to have friends. Hey, I got a friend. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes with me. When that other outfit walks out, he'll step in.
Amen.
young people. Don't ever think that outfit out there's got something you need. They're a plague to you. They're an affliction to you. Go with God. You'll come out a lot better. Let's bow our heads, and Brother William, you come. Do whatever you want.
Well, we need to pray. We need to pray for one another. We need to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He is near. I mean, let the righteous man forget his thoughts, and the wicked man, he let him return unto our God, and He will have mercy and abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while He may be found. I mean, seek His face continually, the Scripture said. Lord, we need to pray for one another. God, give us a seeking spirit. I mean, God, give us a spirit humble to keep seeking the Lord, because there is coming a day when what's happening in New Orleans is going to happen up in these mountains. What happened down there, I mean, there's going to be no shelter, no escape, no safety from it. You better have the Lord God of heaven. And you'd better have a refuge that you can turn to. There'll be no escape any other direction. I mean, you'd better know the God of your fathers and know what He's able to do. Have a refuge in that day. There won't be one physically. You'd better have one spiritually. You'd better listen to this preacher this morning. This word didn't come by accident, or this word didn't come by chance. This word came to you to save some of you from a life of hell and destruction. Some of you that are looking out there that have got your eyes on a far country, or maybe this word came to rescue you and to save you from that. Hear the word of God and attend to His voice. Seek the Lord while He may be found. That's the only the Scripture said, while He may be found. That means there is a day when He won't be found, when you call and He won't answer, when you'll seek His face and He won't look to you. Seek Him while He may be found. Let the unrighteous man forget his thoughts and forget your wicked way and return to the Lord, and He will have mercy. Right now you've got a day of mercy. Right now you've seen judgment on another place, and you've seen what God can do and the effects of it. But you better seek the Lord. Seek the Lord before it comes your way. Now, I appreciate the message. I appreciate the Spirit of God. These altars are open. If you need to come talk to the Lord, if you need to come and seek the Lord, if you need to come and pour out your heart before Him, I mean, now's a good time. Seek Him while He may be found. Now, I mean, while He's moving up and around and speaking to us, seek Him while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. And I mean, you wait till you get out in the mess. And that's what they all want you to do now. They're all in a mess and they're wanting to pray. They should have sought Him before they got in the mess. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. You've got an opportunity. You young folks have got an opportunity, another day of mercy. And church, we need to pray for them. Now, I mean, Lord, there is a spirit of deception in this world. Now, I mean, so powerful, so alluring. I mean, that it can get a hold and get in the hearts of good people. We need to pray. Pray for one another. I mean, there is a falling away, that God keep us in here and keep us seeking the Lord. I mean, there ought not be a Sunday, there ought not be a service goes by that these little Sunday school classrooms are full up, and prayer room full up, and altar full up, folks seeking God and seeking God for help. And I mean, seeking God to keep our little children in and the children of this community and all that God would give us. And I mean, we ought to seek the Lord while He may be found. Amen. Brother Sam Richards, you pray for us. Everybody pray this morning.
Thank you.